The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by Habs Eyes on the Prize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. My name is Jared Book, and we are going to talk about a hockey team that played on Monday that is in the middle of the playoff race. And no,
Florida,
obviously. Obviously, it is not the Montreal Canadiens, who are not in a playoff race and who did not play on Monday. Nor is it Team Canada or Team USA, who just put on a very long shootout in Brampton for that game as well. But we're going to talk about, start this off with the Laval Rocket, a team that is playing well lately and is really have their backs against the wall with now, as we're speaking on Monday night, two games remaining in their season. Joining me today, the voice you heard before was Anton Rosgaard. Anton, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you, Jared. Here in Vancouver on the West Coast. I've never been to the West Coast before, so it's fun. And obviously, like, the hockey games actually end at 6:30. So, you know, I still have the whole evening ahead of me. That's great.
Yeah, for one of the rare times, Matt and I are ahead of you time-wise. which doesn't usually happen when you're on the other side of the Atlantic. I alluded to him. Also joining us today is Matt Drake. Matt, how are you?
Yeah, I'm ahead of everybody time-wise in more ways than one, just like in my general demeanor, my knowledge of the world and of hockey. What can I say? You know, I'm ahead of everybody, a step ahead of the game.
Yeah, he's the farthest ahead. So if you want to know the lottery tickets, just hit him up on Twitter.
I thought you were going to say obnoxious, because that is the word you're looking for, Jared.
I'm a very courteous host. I don't insult my guests unless they're not here and their name Patrick. I'm just kidding. so let's talk about the Laval Rocket. A big 4-0 win over the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and a game they needed to win. It wasn't the best news, because the team directly behind them in the standings also lost. Also won the Cleveland Monsters, so they stay 1 point behind with one game in hand. But with Raphael Harvey-Pinard, Jesse Ylinen, Corey Schuettman, and Caden Primo back in the AHL, which, you know, for some of those names, it seems a little weird to say. It was everything that the Rocket would have wanted from them, with Harvey-Pinard and Ylinen scoring, and Primo coming away with the shutout.
Yeah, I thought Primo played really well in that one. I mean, they were not even midway through the third period, and he had like 40 shots on goal. Like, it's good to see him go back down there and have some success, because we know that he's been like struggling a little bit at the NHL level. I don't think he was particularly bad with the Habs in that last stint that he had, but to see him go back and to play that well in a key game for them is like, all right, he's got something there, and they're going to need as many goaltenders as they can to enter the fray and kind of compete to be the next Carey Price. And if he can jump into that conversation, I think it's a good thing for the organization. Clearly, very good thing for Laval to have him back, because if he can play like that in the stretch run, you know, they're going to have a better chance to qualify for the playoffs. And then if they get in there, of course, they're going to need him big time. So got to see more performances like that from him for sure.
Yeah, especially when you think about it. I was in the Place Bell on Friday night to watch the game against the Cleveland Monsters, and it was a very big game, very important, and it was a full house and everything. And you saw Caden Primo coming down for that game, that specific game from the Habs and the NHL, and he wasn't performing at his best. He conceded 5 goals, a few of them were goals that he probably should have had. So it's extra important to see him, you know, get this shutout and really perform when it matters. And every game for the Rocket right now is a final. So they have to win out, basically, because Cleveland still has a game in hand and they're just a point behind.
Yeah, it's especially good to see this kind of game from Primo, given the game that he played last Friday against Cleveland, because he was not good in that one. Probably wanted a couple of goals back. And then he didn't play the next night in Syracuse because the Canadians called him up and he was in Toronto. It was Kevin Poulin who started that game. But yeah, to Matt's point, 32 shots for the Penguins after 2 periods, 41 shots overall, and Primo did not allow a goal. And really was the, when the score was close and it was a 1-0 game going into the third period. Primo was solid in that one. And 2 power play goals from Harvey Pinard and Ullinen. And the one thing the Rocket have been struggling to do lately is score on the power play. And they have had goal scoring from Emil Heinemann. Mitchell Stevens has started to play well as well. But you can tell that when Harvey Pinard, who is an NHLer, Jesse Ullinen, who is very close, if he's not solidified as an NHLer, come back to the AHL, they're just so much better than what the Rocket had been dealing with. And I mean, no offense to some of the players who were getting power play minutes over the last few weeks, but they're not Raphael Harvey-Pinard, they're not Jesse Ullinen, and the Rocket power play goes 2-for-5 in a must-win game, scoring their first 2 goals of the game. And then you get the veterans who scored in the final minutes of the game. Gabriel Bourque with about 2:15 to go and a few seconds, about 30 seconds after that one. Denick Martel, who has dealt with so many injuries this season, got his 4th goal. And these are the games that Martel plays well. He was great in the playoff run last year for Laval. And you know, like Anton said, the Rocket have to win every game, basically, because winning every game is not enough. That won't get them in. They're not in charge of their own destiny. They need Cleveland to lose a game in order to make the playoffs. And there is a scenario where if Laval and Cleveland both win all their games and Utica, who is currently in 4th place, loses all their games, there could be a tie for that 4th spot, but it's obviously a scenario that isn't as likely as one of the other teams losing, and you still have Belleville in there, who have 3 games left and they're 4 points behind the Rocket, so they have a game in hand on Laval as well, who only have 2 games left. So it'll be very interesting, and the Rocket are on a 7-3-0 streak right now, including winning their last 2. But if they had a somewhat decent start to the season, they'd be probably a few spots ahead of where they are right now. But I do want to talk about Emil Heinemann a little bit, because he has been I think that there were relatively high expectations for him. I didn't think that he would meet them the way that he has, and he has shown to be a guy who can, at the very least, score at the AHL level and create offense. And that's a huge thing for the Rocket.
Yeah, Justin was talking about it in the EOTP chat earlier during the game. And he's like, you know, I wonder if the emergence of Heinemann ends up pushing the Habs one way or the other when it comes to Denis Gurianov, because they're kind of similar players, like bigger bodies that can skate pretty fast and that have really good shots. And Heinemann, if you're judging, and it's hard to judge, you know, NHL versus AHL production, right? But if you're looking at it just from the player, right? For me, when I was watching that game, I was like, I think he might be ahead of Gurianov right now. Like, if you had to depth chart it right now and say, who would you think would have a better shot of cracking the Habs lineup for opening night next season, I think you'd probably be going with Heinemann at this point. I'm not positive. Again, I'm trying to judge AHL versus NHL here, but he looks fantastic. He made a ridiculous pass at one point. I forget who was on the receiving end of it. It didn't end up in a goal, but it was a beautiful pass in the offensive zone. And like he's getting it done in more ways than one. It's not just the shot. He's also being able to set opportunities up for his teammates as well. I think he's got a legitimate chance at surprising next year and cracking the roster. He surprised last season, or this season rather, if I keep forgetting that the season's not even over yet. But he surprised a little bit at camp. People didn't necessarily expect him to look as good as he did. I think next year they might have eyes on him, and they might give him a more extended look to see if he can actually crack the Habs roster and play there for the rest of the season. I've been super impressed with him. And watching that game, I felt like he was the best forward on the ice for the Rocket personally, outside of Raphaël Harvey-Pinard. So, yeah, super impressed. And, man, if he can keep it going, it's another piece that's going to be very helpful for them in this attempt at their making the playoffs.
Yeah, I obviously went to Laval on Thursday, this last Thursday, to speak with Emil and Mathias Norlinder, considering the Swedish connection we have. And it was a fun time. It was especially fun considering the start Emil has had on his North American adventure. I think both Florida and Calgary are a little bit scared of like having traded away someone who can potentially make an impact now, because he has obviously been traded already twice in his young NHL career. But yeah, it was fun to hear him speak because he said, among other things, that he thinks that his game fits the North American ice better than he felt about his SHL career. He likes when it's more intense. He likes when it's faster decisions. He feels that it fits his style of play much better. And yeah, it's fun to hear that as well, because obviously we see a lot of players go the other way around when they join the NHL, that they are kind of overwhelmed by the intensity and the physicality and the speed. And to actually hear a 21-year-old say that he likes this and he thinks that his career will blossom because of it, it tells you something about him. And yeah, he has a wicked shot as well, so that's perfect for both the Habs and the Rocket going forward. We see the Rocket needing more scoring threats. That was what me and Jared were talking about that the other day, that obviously it's difficult to have a power play in the AHL when everyone keeps getting called up. Like, it's difficult for the coaching staff to actually make something of it when you basically only play with your what you were thinking were going to be third and fourth liners at the power play. So getting Heinemann in and then getting Harvey Pinal and Ilonen back for this last stretch of the season will be huge for Laval.
Yeah.
We got to mention too, like Heinemann's not going to be Arturi Lehkonen. I know everybody's heard that comparison, and I think we've heard that comparison 30 different times for 30 different players. I feel like we've heard it that many times in the last 2 years. Anyways, it's like since Lehkonen left, everybody wants the next Arturi Lehkonen to come. This is not Arturi Lehkonen. Like Anton just touched on specifically what he does well is that ridiculous shot. He's got the skating. He's got some size. Yeah, he's more of a Josh Anderson type than he is an Arturi Lehkonen. He's not going to play that elite defensive game, but that's not what you want out of him. He's the guy that you want to put the puck in the net. That's what he's there for. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. I think one thing that I want to caution all Habs fans against at this point is we got to stop trying to compare everybody to Arturi Lehkonen. We got to look at him for what he brings in his game, and what Emil Heinemann brings is scoring.
Yeah, somewhere Pat is smiling in his sleep with Matt pointing that out. And I don't mention him being traded twice before the age of really 20, because he was traded last year. And that does raise some red flags, right? If two organizations are willing to trade you, you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they looking for that? And I think also the Canadians aren't shying away from acquiring players like that. You know, you can look at a guy like Kirby Dach and be like, well, why are the Chicago Blackhawks trying to trade him? He's a third overall pick. He's still very young. Why are they trying to trade him? And they did their homework on Doc. And so far, it looks like they've really done their homework on Heinemann as well. And you know, he has 7 goals in 9 games in Laval. He only had 8 goals in 35 games in the SHL. And that worried a lot of people. And Patrick has talked and written an article about how, you know, going from North America to Europe late in the season and even later for Heinemann because he was dealing with an injury. And it really makes a difference. And, you know, it just seems like he's excited to be in North America. And he was supposed to play last year, but came over with an injury and never got the chance to play. He skated a little bit on his own and never really got that chance to play with the Rocket. And, you know, now having this opportunity to play in one of our very important games, he's really showing a side to him that personally I wasn't expecting this soon. Obviously, you know about the offensive capabilities that he has, but yeah, I think that he's really performed better than I expected, and it's very intriguing. And Laval, this Canadiens organization, and I guess we'll segue into that now, that this Canadiens organization is really going to have a lot of players, young good players in the professional ranks next year. Heinemann will likely be here all year next year. You have Joshua Roy, Riley Kidney, Sean Farrell, who all have full seasons. Possibly mm-hmm. Philip Machar. Logan Mailloux as well. Jaden Struble will have his first full season. Jakub Dobish will have his first full season. And potentially even his first pro game. I don't know if unless the Rocket have clinched going into that last game of the season, I don't think they'll throw him in in this playoff hunt. No, you know, disrespect to Dobish, but that's not really the environment you necessarily want to have for a player in his first pro game. It's like, okay, we have to win this game. Good luck. But who knows? They might do it. They might pull it off, especially because Caden Primo might be needed in the NHL. So there always is that possibility. Obviously, you have Kevin Poulin, who, you know, a lot of people forget, started game one last year in the playoffs before Caden Primo, you know, stole that job away from him with his play. So, you know, going into next year, and, you know, we've talked about, you know, Heinemann already, you know, eventually there's going to be a lack of spots for players. And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens development in the past has always been there are spots for these people. And if they don't make it, it's because something went wrong along the way. And now they're in a situation where, you know, even if everything goes right for every prospect, which is not going to happen, I want to be very clear about that. But even if it does, there's not going to be spots for everyone. And players will either lose out or have to move on or not get re-signed at really no fault of their own, just because they've been passed on the depth chart. And it's going to be very interesting to see how things shake down at both the NHL and AHL levels next year, because as nice as it is to have all these young players, you don't necessarily want a team full of young players in the AHL. You need those veterans as well. And, you know, hopefully the Canadiens organization stays a little bit more healthy than they have been the last two seasons, as I knock on wood on my desk right now. But what are you guys looking forward to in terms of these, you know, this young organization? I feel like, you know, because of the injuries, we haven't really talked about Juraj Slafkovský that much. We haven't talked about Cole Caulfield recently. We haven't talked about Caden Gooley very much because of his injuries. But those are all very key parts to this team's future, who should be back next season. And to do that, some other players will lose their spots that they've gotten right now. So what are you most intrigued by as we head into, you know, the final two games of the Canadian season, final two games of the Rocket season, and into what should be a fun off season? We'll start with Matt.
I'm intrigued for the Habs for the remaining two games is just lose both of them. I want to make sure that they've got you know, the best possible odds at Bedard, of course. And I know some people have been on Twitter being like, well, you can't sit there and complain and root for a loss. You get a 1% better chance. Sure, I can. Of course I can. I of course, if you present me with two options, you can have 7.5 or 8.5% chance at Connor Bedard. I'm taking the 8.5. I'd rather lose those two games, you know, short-term pain for long-term gain. And then, you know, at least they're positioned for a top five spot. I feel like top five, you have a chance at somebody falling into your lap, right? Whether it's Zach Benson, who's the guy who's pretty much projected by a lot of outlets to be at number five, or maybe Leo Carlson drops somehow and he falls into your lap at five, then of course you take him. Matvei Michkov could drop. Of course you take him. Fantilli, I don't think Fantilli's dropping from number two, but you get my drift there. It's like somebody might fall into your lap at number five that shouldn't be there, and you might end up with an extremely intriguing prospect. Outside of that, I mean, I'm mostly just looking forward to camp at this point next year, because I think it's going to be a hotly contested battle for very few spots. Like you mentioned, there's a lot of young players coming up that are going to be turning pro, and there's just not enough spots for them all to play in the NHL. A lot of them are going to have to play in Laval, and even then, there's not going to be that many spots in Laval. So I feel like camp is going to be really an opportunity for a lot of these guys to show, what have you done to get yourself ready for the NHL? Everybody on this podcast and anybody who listens to this podcast knows I'm a huge Joshua Roy booster. I really believe that he's going to make a push for the NHL next season. He's done everything that you could possibly have asked him to do to be more prepared for an NHL career. He's gotten physically stronger. He's better in board battles. His skating has gotten better. His defensive game has gotten unbelievably better. I watched a game, who did they play? I think it was Blainville-Boisbriand, and he scored two shorthanded goals in one game. Last year, he barely played on the penalty kill, so he's developed so many aspects of his game that could make him useful in the NHL that's what makes me believe that he's going to have a really good shot at making the NHL. Then you have Riley Kidney. Riley Kidney really blew up this year after getting traded. When I talked to him after his game in St. John, he said, my number one goal in the offseason is to get as strong as possible. I want to get physically stronger. He's like, I think that's the last missing piece for me. His skating's already there. His playmaking's already there. He's got a much better shot than people give him credit for. I think he could make things interesting, and I think he would make things very interesting in Laval. They have a lot of good young pieces that are coming up. Logan Mailloux, I think he's still a bit of an enigma because there are some issues with his positioning, but then when you watch five games in a row with him, if he has two bad ones, the third one is going to be like 5 points, and he's going to get a Michigan to complete his hat trick on the last one. Like, he's got that game-breaking ability where if they can fine-tune certain aspects, if he works with Adam Nicholas for, I don't know, 3 weeks or something, I wonder what's that going to do for him. Is that going to take him to that next level where he could actually crack the Habs roster or become a huge contributor for Laval? There's so many interesting pieces coming up that I just can't wait until we get to rookie camp first and then the main camp, and kind of see who distances themselves from the pack, because there's really there is a pack of players there, and it's hard to pick out right now who could make those spots. So I guess the only other thing I could say, other than losing in these final two games for the Habs, is we really need to start, and I hope the organization is starting to look at who's the dead weight and how can we get them out of the way to make space for some of these younger players. This is a rebuild, right? I don't think that there's a lot of value in going into next year with a lot of the same faces that we saw this year. I think they need to cut some people out, trade them, maybe not do buyouts, because you don't really want to have yourself handcuffed to the cap with some extra dead cap money sitting there from a buyout. But trades, you know, are we willing to put somebody on waivers and figure it out, right? You got two more games to evaluate and decide who that's there right now do we really want next year? And who do we not? And then how do we get rid of them so that we can make space for some of these younger guys?
Yeah, I'm mainly looking forward to development in general. You touched on it earlier, Jared, when you were talking about the trade for Doc and trading for Heinemann, that the difference now, if we compare to during the Bergevin era, is mainly that it feels like there is some sort of contingency in terms of development and the way you want to develop your prospects. So it's not like, oh, this player comes in, he's traded one for one or whatever, and then we just hope he figures it out. And if he doesn't, well, that's bad. and we will put him further down our lineup, or we will trade him away to someone else, or we will put him on waivers. Basically, now it feels like they are trying to do whatever they can to put any player in the best situation possible. We've seen players like Justin Barron, for example, come up last year and look a little bit out of touch, like everything is slightly too big for him, slightly too fast for him. Then he goes back down to Laval this year and comes up to the NHL, you know, for a stretch now, and looks much more ready. And that obviously is what you are supposed to do. You get a first taste of the NHL, and then you, if you need to work on your craft in a slightly less, a slightly less spotlight, you can go down to Laval, and we've seen Cole Caulfield do that. We've seen several players, you know, use Laval to find their game again, and it's perfect. So basically, just seeing these guys continue to develop, and as Matt says as well, you know, seeing a few of the guys coming in from the junior leagues, a few of the guys maybe coming over from Europe to play. It's an exciting time to be a Habs fan, because like, there have been so many years of the Habs being around that 15 to 20 mark, where they are a bubble team and they can maybe sneak into the playoffs, but their everything has to go their way if they want to make a cup run, like in 2021. And now it actually feels like they are building the right way. It might not go all the way. We've seen a lot of teams, you know, take this approach of doing the rebuild and not come out on top in the end, because you need to have a little bit of luck in the playoffs eventually. But at least there are a lot of talents in the prospect pool now. It will be really fun to do the top 25 under 25 this year, because there are so many players in the system and so many talented players in the system. Basically, no one ages out, because everyone is 23 or younger. And if you can, you know, flip one of the older guys who is, you know, on an expiring deal or has 2 years left for, you know, a pick or a pick that you can flip for a younger guy that you can insert to your lineup now, that would be really fun to see. There is a lot of things to be excited for after these two pointless games that we're up to see. Is it, it's Carolina and no, who is it? New York Islanders and who are they facing in the second to last?
Boston's the other one. That's the one that worries me. That's the one that worries me, because they've had the East, like, home ice advantage all the way through the Stanley Cup final, locked up for what, a month now? I feel like they might be icing, you know, a pretty bare bones roster. I think we're probably not going to see Pasternak. We might not see Bergeron. We might not see Marchand. They might try to keep some of those guys at home, which could give the Habs a chance. I think everybody remembers last year they smoked Florida, what, 10-1 in the final game. So, there might be a point to be had there, but I don't know.
Yeah, and obviously that last game against Florida, they had already clinched last place in the league by that point. Ironically, in a game they won also. they won, and in a few minutes or hours later, the Coyotes won, and Montreal finished last. And I want to touch on something that Matt mentioned about the top five. And yeah, I mean, the 1% doesn't seem like a lot, but the difference between finishing number five from the bottom and number six from the bottom is that if you finish fifth, you have a 41.8% chance of picking in the top five, whether first, second, or fifth. And if you finish sixth, that drops dramatically to about 15%. And you can only pick basically first, second, or sixth. So it really makes a difference. You can even drop as low as eighth if two lower teams end up winning the lottery. Same thing if you finish fifth from the bottom, you can go as low as seventh. So yeah, it's in a draft where it's going to be a little bit of a drop off after a top five. And, you know, I mentioned it before, it's an organization's job, whether you're picking top five, top 10, to find good players. They will exist in this draft. Just look at what the Canadians did last year. in the second round with Owen Beck and Lane Hudson. You can find good players. It's just a matter of picking the right ones. And so far, and some people might disagree because the expectations were maybe a little bit too high for the Slovaks, Slavkovsky and Meshar this season, but it's definitely going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. And it would be nice if going into that last game against Boston, that the Canadians could have a fifth spot all sewed up and clinched, and then beat the Bruins, the President's Trophy champions, 10-1 again. I think that might make a few Canadians fans a little bit happy.
The good news on that front is, and you know, here's me looking at the out of town scoreboard. Of course, the Coyotes are up as we're speaking right now, 1-0 on the Kraken. So that would be big if they can close that out and do us a little favor, because that'd put them 3 points clear, and then the Habs could in fact afford to put a beating on the Bruins in the last game of the year and give us something to smile about as we head into the offseason. So go Coyotes.
Yeah, you know, I've between
you may
last
be
year...
you may be their only fan, Matt, right now.
I you know, we know they don't have many, but yeah, I'm definitely, count me among them for the moment.
Matt's growing a mullet as we speak, to get to the arena. Yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting because, and you know, it's a frustrating experience to scoreboard watch, whether you're cheering for Arizona, whether you're cheering for the Islanders or Pittsburgh to make the Florida pick better. It's a frustrating experience because you know what, these teams are bad, and counting on them to win games is not very likely at some point. So even if they're fighting for the playoffs, like the Islanders against the Capitals on Monday night, so it is a frustrating experience. But hey, so were the first 80 games of the season for the Canadians in terms of frustrating experience. But I want to, like Anton said, the future is probably in a better spot now than it has been for at least 15 years, I would say. You know, I'm not going to say that this group is as promising as when they had a young Carey Price, a young PK Subban, a young Max Pacioretty. But in terms of the depth of the pool, I think there's an argument to be made that this is the deepest prospect pool the Montreal Canadiens have ever had, at least in the modern era. And it's a fun time to cover the team, to watch the team, to cheer for the team, and to follow the team right now. It's just a fun time to look at what they're doing, because for years, things didn't always make sense. You know, I remember, we're tasked with writing articles a few seconds after we see some news, and not everything makes sense and is easy to make sense of. But all of Kent Hughes's moves, whether they work out or not, are at least, you know, consistent in mindset and have a similar you know, you can draw a line from one to the other, and you're not scribbling like a three-year-old on a piece of paper. The lines make sense. And so I think that's an intriguing time. Like I said, it might not work. You know, Anton said it. A lot of teams have tried this and it hasn't worked, or it's taken a lot longer for it to work in the case of a team like Edmonton or Buffalo. But when you get it right, it looks easy, right? Like when you look at Tampa right now, or Boston, or teams like that, they make it look so easy. It's like, oh yeah, why did other teams just do that? you know, maybe in a few years we'll be looking at the Canadiens and be like, oh, why did other teams trade for Kirby Doc or Emil Heinemann, or draft Lane Hudson higher than 62nd overall? And I think that's, you know, a lot of these prospects, like I said, will not have spots, but it's a far cry from when prospects had to work out or it would be bad. Like if you look at that 2017 draft, Poehling, Ikkinen, Brooke, Walford, Tishka, Primo was part of that draft class, Cale Fleury, if I told you that the only one that would still be in the organization is Caden Primo, you'd think that the outlook was pretty bad for the team right now. Like if all those guys didn't work out, it would be pretty bad. But the opposite has happened. The Canadians are in a good spot. Same thing with the 2016 draft. You know, the only guy remaining from that group is Michael Pezzetta. And you'd be
quickly have to correct you. Primo is from 27. Oh, you were speaking about the 27. I was speaking about 2017. Yeah, sorry. I was checking the 2018 because of Samuel Hood, who was playing today as well.
Yeah, Samuel Hood, who took a run at Danick Martell after a goal as well. So,
but which was gutless, by the way. I saw that and I was like, man, like that might not be necessarily a penalty, like in a regular spot in the game if you were taking a shot on a goaltender. But as an empty net, that puck was already over. That was gutless.
Yeah, it reminded a lot of people of Scheifele and Jake Evans, where, you know, open ice hits like that can happen, but when a guy is just putting the puck in the open net with seconds remaining, there's no need for that. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in terms of supplemental discipline, if there is any. There was no penalty on the ice that was called, remarkably. But it will be very interesting to see as we continue covering the Rocket, and Anton mentioned his talks with Heinemann and Norlander this week in Laval, or last week in Laval. And we'll have podcast articles up for there. I want to thank the Fan First Sports Network for getting us a great logo as we continue our rebranding. And the site should have a logo as well, HavsEyesOnThePrize.com. That is our domain again. So if you're going to HavsEOTP.com, there's no need to do that anymore. And it's an exciting time for the Canadians, an exciting time for Eyes on the Prize. And we hope that you stay with us along the ride as we look into the draft and the lottery and free agency and trades and everything else that could happen between now and next season. This is the fun part for us a little bit, when we don't have to worry too much about the actual results of the games and can just write and watch prospects and see how things go. So Matt, Anton, thank you so much for joining me. My name is Jared Book, and thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on Habs and Minded.